Let's open our Bibles today to Colossians chapter 4. We're going to look at the topic of influence. Remember, our mission statement, vision statement is influencing people, leading people from where they are to where God wants them to be. And have you ever thought about, you know, I know some people play this game sometimes, I see it from time to time, but what's your superpower? Or do you feel you have one? I don't know. I mean, everybody kind of likes a superpower. I mean, some would like, you know, maybe to be invisible or to be able to fly, whatever it would be. So superpowers are good, but I believe that each of us today already has a superpower, and we may not even be aware of it. And that power that we're going to look at today is the power of influence. Now, I think this is a valid question that we all need to answer. Is that, are we going to use our powers for good and not evil? You know, because it could go either way. Well, you say, I'm a Christian. You know, what kind of a thing could I do? And how important it is that, you know, that I really kind of think about that. But it is that we decide that because Jesus warned us in the Scripture to, I guess in a sense, to not cause anybody to stumble. Right? We're not supposed to cause anyone to stumble, and how important it is that you and I be able to lead people to Christ in a proper way, because we need to each be aware of the influence power that we have on other people. And I think that a life that has meaning is a life that has influence. And we need to think about that. So the scripture we're going to look at today is found in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, is conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be seasoned with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word, and for the anointing that's on it to be able to break every yoke of bondage that's on our lives, Lord. We know sometimes we look at things wrong, or maybe hear things wrong. But Lord, help us to be able to tune into your Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the teacher right now. You're the one that's going to bring revelation, knowledge, and wisdom to our lives. I bind up the devil from trying to steal that word, that holy word out of our hearts and minds in any way, shape, or form. And Lord, I thank you. I yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we need to really think about influence and how we need to use our power for good and not evil. And you need to really think about your life on how you live your life and what we do. The first point I want to look at today is the idea of opportunities. I think, as a believer, we need to really be on the lookout for opportunities to have influence in other people's life. Now, this is a staggering statistic, but it says, and I might have shared this before, is that each and every person usually has influences 10,000 people in their lifetime. So during your life, over the course of that life, you're going to have an influence over 10,000 people. And that's a lot. And I suppose with social media and things like that, I suppose that number could even escalate. You know, depends how many likes you get, right on? You know what I mean? Yeah, everybody wants those likes. But anyway, don't want to compromise yourself to get a like, though. Amen? Glory to God. All right, so we need to be missional in our thinking. What I mean by that, by missional in our thinking, is that we don't need to put our life in neutral, but we need to put it in drive. And we need to be thinking about, I don't know about you, but, you know, there's some sobering statistics that we all have to face. Number one, unless Jesus comes, we're all going to die. Right? We're all going to die. Everybody's going to head by the way of the grave, at least their body, their spirit and soul goes to be with Jesus. Praise God. But what are we going to do from birth to death? What are we going to do? Are we just going to live? Are we going to build this earth kingdom? Are we going to try to get a bunch of stuff? You know, all these things kind of come into it. And it's not wrong to have stuff as long as stuff don't have you, right? You know, hopefully we've learned that already in life. But, you know, I think we need to make moments count. And we're going to look at this today about opportunities that God has brought in our life. Each and every one of us have opportunities, and we need to be aware of them to make these moments count. I've always felt our goal in life should be to leave this world a better place than it was when we got here. If we all do that, then I think we're going to make a difference in this world. And I don't know about you, but when I look out the window, it looks like we got our work cut out for us, doesn't it? You know, in my opinion, in the last, 15 to 20 years, things have kind of went downhill a little bit. You know, matter of fact, the devil's bunch and the world system, they've told us to shut our mouth. They've told us to stay out of situations and circumstances and let them be. But Jesus didn't tell us to do that. He never told us to shut our mouth. He told us to speak out and to speak boldly and to go forth in his name and to do things so that he gets the glory. And I found out in my life that a world without Jesus is not a very good place, because I used to live in that life. I lived that life for years. But when I got Jesus, my world became a better place. And I believe that if we are people of influence like God's called us to do, and we know that we do influence other people in some way, shape, or form, then we need to be fully aware of what we're doing with our life. You know, the saddest thing I believe is that, you know, when we live a life and then we don't really have anything to show for it. Now, I know we're going to love other people. You're going to take care of your kids. But I'm talking about kingdom business right now. You know, kingdom business is the most important business that you and I will ever be involved in. You know, all this other stuff, we can, you know, build big buildings and we can have fancy places. And, you know, I'm all for, you know, let's just use a hospital. Hospitals are great. It's a healing center. We got to have that. But, you know, technically, you know, if somebody gets healed in their body and they're not healed in their soul or their spirit and they die, what happens then? They're still going to go to hell. So we as a people need to wake up and to be able to assume our responsibility of what it means to be a Christian as we go out and to make disciples. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to live a life of impact in some way, shape, or form. You know, because we're here for such a short time. I'm not about how many crowns I'll have in heaven. That's no big deal to me. But I want to take as many people with me as I can. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever had a little ding in your car? You know, you get a little car ding. You know, somebody opens a door and kind of hits it a little bit and you get this little bump. And then I've also had a dent. Have you had a dent? I've had a dent or two in my cars before. And most of them were self-inflicted dents, you know what I'm saying? I did it to myself. But, you know, I do know this. I prefer with my life to make a dent more than a ding. You know, because dings are just dingy, right? You know, I don't want to be dingy. I want to make a dent. I want to make an impact. I want to be able to change the world around me and make this place a better place in whatever way, shape, or form that might entail. And it's important that we live missionally, because what that means is if you live missionally, then you're going to be on the lookout for these situations. But what happens sometimes as we go through life, we get so busy, we get the cares of this world, and it makes us break our focus on really what's important. And I don't know about you, but I don't know where the last 20 years have went in my life. I don't know if you can say that, but I can. I've lost the last 20 years. It's just flown by. Well, I know I've done some good and things like that, but as I look back, I know that there's some things that I probably could have done better. You know, I'm not condemning myself, but I'm just trying to learn from it. You know, somebody, if you're wise, you learn from your mistakes, amen? You know, it's bad to repeat the same thing over and over. But we all have that power of influence, and I think, you know, if we would just, you know, consider that each and every one of us have a marketplace ministry. A marketplace ministry is the fact that we all go to the marketplace, right? Not where you buy groceries, that's not what I'm talking about, unless you work there. But I mean, we all have jobs and maybe different things that we might go to, and we're interacting with other people all the time, and we just need to see that we need to have a marketplace ministry. We need to be able to live out the gospel out in the world and not just in here. You know, and it's important that we see the task that's at hand and how important it is. Now, I believe we need to be tactful, not tacky. Has everybody ever ran into a tacky Christian? You know what I'm saying? They put Jesus on their finger and they try to cram him down your throat. I mean, that's not what I'm talking about here. We don't want that kind of ministry, because it usually repels more people than it attracts. I mean, you might get a few people that's kind of, you know, feels bad about themselves, and you can make them feel a whole lot worse and usually coax them in, but it usually doesn't bring success to their life. Because to me, Jesus came to set us free. And if we preach the good news about what God can do in our lives and how what the change is, you know, then we can start to see better things start to happen, you know, in the world around us. And it takes advantage, and we take advantage of that. So we need to see that we need to use our powers for good and not evil, because you're going to make an impact on people. Now, I know I don't hear it about this church, but I have heard it. Some people come and tell me, or over the last, you know, years talking to people, they'll say something, and I don't get involved with it too much, but, you know, they'll say they, you know, they were at a church, and, you know, in there they shook my hand, and they gave me a hug, and they just told me how good I was, and, well, then I bumped into them on the street, and they wouldn't even look at me. Didn't even acknowledge my existence, that I was even alive. And I said, well, maybe they were busy and something was going on, you know, and that, you know, just was kind of, you know, just think the best about them. Don't get all burned out about it. But I mean, it just really disappointed them. It made a thing where they didn't really want to serve God. Because if Christians are hypocrites, now we're all going to make mistakes, but there's some things people we can do. Just practical things we can do. Just be friendly. Just say hello. Just stick your hand out and shake their hand. Don't wait for them to make the first move. You know, we are a believer and we have God inside of us. Just, hey, how's it going? Good seeing you again. What's going on? You know, that's not hard. But I know people that have told me that, you know, they would never set back foot back in that place just because of that. And we don't, I mean, it's hard enough to get them saved the way it is without running them off. You know what I'm saying? Now, what the scripture's talking about that we read, it says, conduct yourself with wisdom towards outsiders, that means unbelievers, making the most of the opportunity. Now, the opportunity, what this is talking about here, is that there's always opportunities around us, and what I feel that when it really, that word there is talking about redeeming the time. Redeem the time. So we need to take advantage of those divine appointments and make the most of them. Now, that word there is talking about implies seasons. There are seasons in life when I believe people are more open to the gospel. And you've probably ran into that yourself, maybe in your own life. There's times in your life when maybe you're just, everything's out of control and you don't really have time for God and stuff like that. And, you know, that happens. You know, it shouldn't happen, but you need to, you know, fix that. But other times, you know, I've noticed, like, maybe when people have a baby in my life, sometimes they're open, and maybe when they get married, or, you know, maybe they've had a death in the family. You know, I know that's a time where people are really thinking about eternal things, you know what I'm saying? So there's opportunities in their life. There's times when they're more open. And if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, listen to the Holy Spirit, we can speak a word in due season. And we can make an impact in their life. You know, I just had an opportunity in the last several months where somebody had went through a situation where they lost a loved one. And all they wanted to do was talk about God, and all they wanted to do was talk about Jesus. I'll be honest, after years of trying to just beat the door down on people, I mean, that was fun. We had hours of conversation about eternal things and about the importance of getting things right. And the fact is, you know, maybe their loved one didn't know God, and that bothered them. And, you know, I just tried to comfort them and say, we don't really know somebody's heart at the end. I mean, I don't know. I don't sugarcoat it. You know, I just say that, you know, we don't know their heart. You know, what people does in their last few minutes or seconds. You know, I hope for the best and leave the rest to God. Amen? That's all we can do. I would never say, well, they probably didn't make it. You know what I mean? I've ran into people that's that blunt. Well, if they didn't believe, they don't go to heaven, you know. I mean, what difference does that make that you tell them that? That's not going to help them. Our job is to comfort, to preach to them and have them open. And you see that God is a good God and is a loving God. And that He has a great plan for their life. So that's why we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit about these opportunities. The second point I want to look at today is the idea of compromise. And for the record, I'm against it. You know, in marriage, you may need to compromise every now and then, you know, on some issues. But far as a Christian, this is where we get it. And I feel that, you know, it's hard out there. I know that. You and I, we live in a real world, don't we? we all go out and we mingle and we're around all these different things that's going on and, you know, how we deal with those things and, you know, especially in the marketplace, you know, where you're maybe in the system, maybe your company has certain policies or how you have to do things. But, you know, what I've noticed in my life of what I've seen is that the fact that the world keeps moving the goalposts. You know what I mean? You think what you know what the truth is, and then a few years later, you know, they change it on you. So it's kind of hard to tell really what's going on out there. And what was not acceptable 10 years ago now is acceptable. Now I want us to look at a thing, and I believe this will help us. I've been thinking about this in the last several months, that we need to know the difference between acceptance and approval. Acceptance and approval. And I really feel that if you get this right, it's going to set you free. Because you and I live in a world, as a Christian, where we're getting bombarded about, oh, don't judge, you know, don't do all these things, you know. But I think I found a place where that if we kind of, you know, get our head wrapped around this, this will help us to interact with a world that doesn't really love us sometimes. Now, I believe that we should do it this way, is that we can accept the person without approving of the lifestyle. And I think that should be a fair place to go. I don't know what you think about this, but I would love to have a church full of sinners. I want people who don't know Jesus Christ to come to this place. I want them to feel accepted. As a matter of fact, one of the main things over the years that people would say about our church is that we're accepting. You know, we take people, you know, that maybe don't fit in a lot of different other places, and they never felt accepted. And we do that. And that's good. But yet, on the other hand, you know, we live in a world that is trying to get us to change what it is maybe we believe in order to approve of them, you know. But I really believe that we can accept people in love and still not approve of their lifestyle. And if we can learn how to walk that tightrope, I believe that we can make a greater impact, you know, when we're out in the world. Now, when I got saved, it's been a long time ago, 30-some years ago, I was a sinner. You know, if you read 1 Corinthians 6:9 and verse or two after that, I was involved in several of those sins. You know what I mean? But I knew there was something in my life drawing me to God. Now, I went and found a church. You know, some people came door to door. You guys, some of you may have heard my testimony a little bit, and they made me pray a prayer before they'd leave. You know, I didn't get saved that day, but I did get them out the door. Amen? You know, it had been an hour or so, and I'd had enough, and, you know, they weren't leaving unless I prayed, and I prayed, you know. But anyway, I never accepted Jesus that day, but it did get me doing one thing. It started me attending a good church. Now, when I went there, I still had sin in my life. Matter of fact, no matter what I was doing on Saturday night, I was still there on Sunday. You know, at least I knew enough to go where I could get help, even though I wasn't totally helped yet. So I would go there, but you know what? Those people loved me, and they accepted me, but I knew they didn't approve of my lifestyle. And I'll tell you what, I did not go in that church and demand that they accept my lifestyle. I went in there. It was their turf. It was their rules. And their rules were God's word. But we live in a world now that is attacking the church, trying to get us to change what the Bible says. Well, if you love me, you'll approve of me. Well, I do love you, but Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Guess what? I don't want to offend anybody here, but I love Jesus more than I love you. Amen. And I will not fail him. You know, to the best of my ability, I'm going to follow what he says. Now, I can still love people. I mean, I have no problem being around all kinds of different sinners. It doesn't bother me one bit, and no matter what they're involved in, I'll be honest, pedophilia, that does bug me. I would probably, with our church, with a lot of kids, I would probably encourage them to go to some dead church that don't have any kids, you know what I'm saying? No, I'm just kidding there. But I still don't think that would really be a working thing. But all other sins, I feel, wouldn't be an issue. I have no problem. You know why? Because I was a sinner. And Jesus changed me. And I know that he can change me, he can change them, but they'll never change unless they hear the word. Because I went to that church a long time, and then finally I bowed my knee to Jesus Christ. They accepted me, but I knew they didn't approve. And I didn't go in there bragging about what I've been doing. I kept my mouth shut. The last thing I wanted them to know was what I was doing on Saturday night. You know what I'm saying? And I knew that, you know, there was something there, and in a process, it changed my life. Now, what really happened to me is when I realized that I was powerless against sin. When I finally come to the point that I couldn't fix myself, that's when Jesus Christ came in and changed my life and washed me by the blood and totally changed my life. And I personally believe that everybody has that potential. There is, you know, everybody has that potential to be forgiven. And that's how important it is for you and I to give a good report about God, that we serve a good God, and that we have influence over their life, and that we can make a difference in their life, and we can bring them along the path, along the journey, just to take one more step and to get closer to God. And when they do that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in their life. God knows, we don't. All we can do is try to lead them closer to God. Now, my last point I want to look at is the idea of how we walk in wisdom. To me, wisdom comes from God, and wisdom to me is the ability to apply knowledge. We all have a lot of knowledge. We all have a lot of information in our life, you know. We know a lot of stuff, but when God can give us the wisdom to be able to apply that knowledge, that's what makes a difference in people's lives. As a matter of fact, also, the Bible says if you don't have wisdom, ask God, James. You know, just ask God. He'll help you out. Now, what I also understand is the idea of grace. To me, grace has always been something that made a difference in my life, God's grace, because to me, grace is a weapon. You know, we need a weapon against the enemy, because he comes in, he tries to lie, he tries to get us to believe the wrong things. I like that song we sang today, you know, how, you know, it's kind of upbeat. I was waiting for y'all to get to dancing. I was kind of dancing up there, but I didn't want to, you know, freak Carson out too bad, so I held back. But, you know, just the idea of grace, because to me, grace is good. Now, here's the difference between using our influence for good and not evil. To me, grace is good because it gives us the power to overcome sin. Grace is bad when we use it as an excuse to not deal with some issues in our life. And see, God's grace is there to help us to overcome no matter what it is. And that's, I'm so thankful, just thankful that God has given us the strength to overcome, that we do not have to go through this life being beaten up, cast down, downtrodden, and just barely crawling through this life. But Jesus Christ came, and God has given us the power to be able to walk in victory, to overcome, that we can walk into a situation and hold our head high. Because we know that the greater one lives inside of us. And through his power and through his spirit, we can overcome anything that the enemy comes against us. Maybe you're feeling tempted in your life now. Maybe you feel overwhelmed with the things going on around you. It's just dragging and sucking the life out of you. I just want to tell you today that God's grace is there and you can overcome this. You can walk in victory. You can stand boldly and come boldly before the throne of grace. You don't have to bow your knee to the things of this world that try to drag you down and make you feel like a loser, because God has made you a winner. God has given you his power to overcome these things and to be a light and to be a witness in a lost and dying world. And that's what the scripture says here in the idea that we're supposed to be salt. You're supposed to be seasoned with salt, so that you know how you should respond to each person. Now, I don't know about you, but I've kind of cut salt out of my diet a little bit. Have some of you maybe? I don't know. Not all the time. I'll sneak a little shake every now and then, you know, if it's really needing it. But, you know, the idea of salt in the old days, and still is, but to me, salt adds flavor. Some things need salt, you know. It just needs it. You know, because you're not going to get it down if you don't have some salt. Now, I'm a pepper man. I like a lot of pepper. But, you know, but if you get too much salt, have you ever had something too much, too salty? You didn't know somebody else salted it before you got to it, and then you salted it, and then now you can't eat it. But see, salt is supposed to, when used properly, is to bring a good taste, and really that's what we're supposed to do. When it comes to witnessing and living a life for Christ, we're supposed to have just enough salt, Goldilocks salt, just right, so that we can, you know, speak the right word to the right person. Also, salt was used as a preservative. We have refrigerators now and freezers, and we freeze things. But back then, they used to put all kinds of salt on the meat, which, you know, I'm so thankful I don't live in those days, but they would just cover it with salt and then it would preserve it, and you could eat it later, even, you know, no refrigerator. It's hard for me to get my head around something like that, but when they wanted to eat it, you know, just whack off a big old chunk of that salty stuff on the outside and get to the good inside. And so salt's a preservative. And see, you're placed here for a reason, as a preservative to the world around you. And as long as you're here, and as long as I'm here, there's hope for this world.
That's right.
There's hope, because we carry the hope inside of us, the hope of Jesus Christ. He's called the blessed hope, and we know that he's coming again. You know, our doctrine in the church, for our persuasion, is that we believe in the doctrine of imminent coming, meaning Jesus can come anytime he wants. Whenever the Father says go, go. Or come, come, whatever you want to look at. Now, you know, but still before that, we're supposed to keep doing business. We're supposed to keep working. We're supposed to still keep functioning, you know, and doing the things that the church is supposed to be doing. Now, as this is looking, you know, I believe that each person on this planet has a key to their heart. I know what my key was, and God gave me that, or gave that key, and it changed my life. And I know people that spoke into my life over the years, turning that key just a little farther. And I believe that God has given maybe you keys to people's hearts in your life, people that you can make a difference in, people that you can unlock so that they can be able to receive God's glory. And we just need to be open to it, because I believe that God will show us how to respond to each person, is what the scripture says. So, in closing, we need to stop thinking that what we do doesn't matter. Because I believe that's a lie. You'd be surprised. Pastor, I don't think that way. You'd be surprised how many people think that way. They think that what they do doesn't matter. Well, I'm just this, or I'm just that. See, if we could get our head around this, what you do for a living isn't who you are. That's just what you do. Who you are is what God's made you. That's who you are. You're a child of the King. And we need to stop thinking that our life doesn't matter, because God's given you a reason to make an impact. He's put us here for a reason. And basically, to cut to the chase, is we're supposed to plunder hell and populate heaven. That's really what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to reach out to a lost and dying world. We're supposed to invite and tell them about the good news of Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is be a willing participant and let God work through us. Amen? Let's pray.